Okay, so the next talk should start in a few minutes. So hi from your translators already. So if you can hear us, you are in the right channel. So, and now for something completely different. So it seems like now it works. Now we're going to destroy a PC. First, okay, you'll call your. Also jetzt kurz die Anmoderation auf Englisch. Kriegt sie noch eine auf Deutsch.
And if you want to ask questions, use the formula. There is a Frage eintüten button somewhere. And if you don't quite understand what's going on, go to the privacyweek.at. There is an English section. Click on that as all the information. Thank you. So, jetzt zurück zum Hetty.
So, and now back to Hetty. Hi, Hetty. Hi. Hetty. So, today you, as a French Viennese from Corinthia, presenting to the guy from Salzburg. Yeah, so he's just from very different places. You can also see Hetty's also an angel, so he's also a volunteer working here. He's also a member of the Chaos Computer Club in Vienna, and he's a hardware hacker, so he's also in a MetaLab, so a hack space in Vienna. So he's a great guy. And he'll show you how you destroy your PC by clicking on the wrong things. Okay, so now they're doing some short server creation stuff. Good. Well, hello. Good evening. So we have a nice virtual machine you see here, which was prepared for me. And we'll see what we can do with it by downloading some ransomware, executing it, look if it actually works. Maybe if it can work with open source software like LibreOffice and not just with Microsoft. So you see we have this PC here. I'm still missing some test files. So I'll just look for wallpaper packs to have some example files which can be encrypted. So I just take the first one. Yeah, that looks, yeah, no, that's good. Yeah, Windows background wallpaper pack, that looks great, so let's buy it, meaning downloading it. So okay, so the experience is pretty bad, from the store experience is pretty bad. I thought I can just download it, so I'll just use the browser. Yeah, okay, then let's take this one. Okay, so there's a Halloween pack. Okay, great, tomorrow is Halloween, so. Oh, but that's only 3 pictures, cute and cuddly. Maybe there are more. Yeah, 23, that's better. So. Yeah, baby Oleg wallpaper. Yeah, but there's only one wallpaper. No, I actually want like a collection. Let's see where we can find that. Now seeing search engine skills live. Yeah, so that looks good. Like 50 wallpapers in one zip file. Let's have a look if that actually works. Oh, obviously, it seems to be difficult to get the collection of wallpapers, which you can just download as one file. I'd like to show how it changes. Maybe this one? Download was at the top. Wrong direction. There's a download now. Oh yeah, now he found it. Great. So okay. Now Firefox is complaining. Hetty doesn't care because he actually wants to destroy his PC. So yeah, he accepts everything now. Yeah, great. Now he gets more advertisements. Yeah, jump over the ads. Yeah, that looks pretty catastrophic. catastrophic looking at all the pop-ups. I hope I get at least the wallpapers and not just adware. Oh no, it's a 404, so it's just ads, it's no download. But maybe there is a wallpaper for Windows already. No system error here. Let's check. Okay, so we were like failing at the wallpaper collection already. Let's try this one. That looks good. Maybe you just explain what a wallpaper is. Okay, I mean, it's just a collection of wallpapers. Just in German, we say wallpapers as well. That's why we can't explain it in German. So we want to have some data which can be shown that it's encrypted. So we want to see after the ransomware was executed that the data is really encrypted and so no longer readable. And so we need some data. Okay, now great. We found something at XDA. So let's now unzip it here. Whatever. So we can see that those files are gone afterwards. Yeah. There we go. Yeah, it's not too many, but still as a proof of concept, it's totally sufficient. And then we go to this website, which is a malware bazaar. This is where we can download malware samples. That's done. It's by a Swiss malware researcher. Yes, bazaar.abuse.ch. So if you're interested in malware, definitely check out the abuse.ch homepage. That's a great guy doing that. And it's a database. And all I don't try this at home unless you know what you're doing, because you can actually really download malware here, which will get executed and destroy your computer. So really don't try this at home, except you're also a security researcher like Hetty here. So and now you'd say he's downloading and to check, and let's check what kind of ransomware is there. It's taking a bit because they have a lot of samples. I watched yesterday, I had a look yesterday, so they had approximately like 100 samples of different ransomwares. Okay, when did ransomware appear? The first appearance of ransomware, what do you... Yeah, it's clearly a bit older. I think 2 years ago I made a talk. I think it's more like more than 20 years old ransomware. So the beginnings where they just... it's like just hit folders or renamed folders or encrypted folders. And like even like for floppy, they distributed those using floppy disks, and then the internet came and slowly started distributing the stuff over the internet. And then you had to order something at some very weird looking online pharmacy. So it started actually already offline, and then when the internet came, it was of course distributed online. So what is the algorithm behind the encryption? Well, you have different usually they use AES, so the advanced encryption standard. And the key is created by RSA, or it's encrypted by a public RSA key. And the developers, the malware developers, have the private key, and they may give it to you if you pay them, but you don't have any guarantees on that. So now you have here the selection. And so you see the hash of the of the file, you see the signature, you also see the tags and the type of file. I would like to have just a basic Office document. Now let's go back, see. So because I would like to try if it actually works with OpenOffice or LibreOffice, because usually it works with Word, also Microsoft Word. But last time I checked, it also worked with. Last time I tested with a live demo, it with OpenOffice. Okay, checked it. And then last time it didn't work because it said it just had a debug error and said because it's LibreOffice. Okay, he used LibreOffice, but he said OpenOffice, it's not the same software, no one cares. Good. Okay, so let's unzip that.
So, das Passwort ist infected.
Password is infected.
Ah, wir haben ja noch diesen Windows Defender.
Oh, we still have something called Windows Defender, which most likely won't allow that. The Defender got pretty good after Andre asked whether since when does the Defender find anything. Yeah, but I want to deactivate it. Yeah, of course, now I have to put in the administrator's password. Okay, maybe the admins could like disable that. Obviously, it looks like Hetty doesn't have the admin password or admin rights. By now, the Windows Defender has actually gotten really good. So if anyone asks me for suggestions for antivirus, I say use Windows Defender as you have it already. It's pretty good. Or and I don't understand why you should pay extra money for other AVs if you have a good solution for Windows Defender. So I think one of the good things about the Windows Defender is that they actually know the system. And the others just sometimes make more. They destroy more than they're useful. Okay, that looks interesting. Exorcism something. Okay, let's download that as well. And just some collection again.
So.
You'll start it locally. Yes, I'll start it locally on this computer. He actually went. Okay, I'll just ask the admins if they can deactivate the Windows Defender. At least we see proof that the Windows Defender actually sees. The problem with AV software is that they have a signature they are looking for. So usually AV has to know the malware already, because so they can create a signature and have a signature in the database. And just compare it to the data. Of course, you have other stuff which tries to analyze how the software behaves, which is executed, and when they start like accessing many data, many files, and tries to use encryption, they can detect it. But that doesn't help as well if they do it like with the time jump. So first they don't do anything, and then just do it part bit by bit and not at one and one run. Okay, so he used the word for part by part, which is very Austrian and not German, so it was just translated. Okay, so Hetty gets the admin password. So yeah, so you get an admin password to deactivate your Windows Defender. That's always good. So just tell, if people ask you if you want to, if they can execute malware, always help them to deactivate their AVs. So he will now remotely deactivate everything. So definitely don't do this at home, because just for the test, you don't need any protection. Actually, you don't want protection. So now it should be better. Great. So let's try that. Repeat the process. Okay, so we will stop all of these. New attempt. Now make another attempt at the password is infected. But now you have a Word document. Okay, let's open that up. LibreOffice is opening. What do we get? Okay, it has a macro, and I see a hint here. Macros can have viruses and blah blah blah. So LibreOffice that's a good thing that they hide the option very well that you can accept macros. So with Word, Microsoft Office, you can just use one click, but with LibreOffice, you actually have to go to the settings and look for it and extra activate it. So it's much more complicated, which is a good thing, I think, because it's more secure. Okay. usual thing. So it says document protected, because it says you have to enable macros to. So now let's enable the macros. First, let's have a look at the. Maybe let's check. Tell people what a macro is. A macro usually is just a small script which executes some commands in the background. So, for example, you can just program something with that something is done in the background, so that you download a file or change something. But usual Word documents don't have animations and are rather static, so you don't have that many functions. But with macros, you can use this. So there are very different kinds of macros. So some are already within Word, so though they don't need any special rights. So like for having a date, but more complex things, you have to do it in a like real programming language, like Virtual Basic. Okay, real programming language, we can discuss about that, but whatever. So now let's have a look at the document before we activate the macros. So it gives us an instruction, says okay, yeah.
If the document was downloaded from your email, please enable editing with the yellow bar above.
So you see here, there is no yellow bars that says enable editing above, because it's targeted on Microsoft Office and not on, because there you get this like yellow warning thing which says enable. Yeah, warning bar. Once you have it edited, you say also have to say enable content. And then so you get a second bar with the Microsoft Office, which first asks you to enable macros and then asks you to enable editing content. Yeah. If you do both of those things, then the script will be run in the background, the ransomware will be downloaded and executed. Very interesting is, you see, this document is completely safe to open. What? Mm-hmm. As or safe to open. So it reads shady and it also like sounds rather shady. But this is a very classical way to try to nudge people into enabling macros, because they tell you, yeah, this blurred thing is all. So, but a question I always ask myself: Why do most malware have so bad English? Don't they have any people who speak good English or what? I don't know, but often it's really not relevant, because people often don't have the awareness, they don't think about it and think maybe it has something to do with work, and many times it's in connection with really good mails which look like legit mails from work, and they really give you the feeling that this is an email which is important for your work and you have to open it, and so you think, oh, I have to open this to continue my work, and then continue with this with these ideas and assumptions and nudges, people still activate it. Well, it's said that the Israel inserted Stuxnet like that in Iran, so that they made this in a Word document. Yeah, malware is often embedded in doc files, because you can easily nudge people to open that. Because if you don't know what to do, it doesn't look, it looks kind of not fishy. It looks okay. It doesn't look like bad, and it makes sense. Okay, so this document is protected, so I have to activate something that I can see. So this, at first glance, this looks like logical. And the malware inside is not the actual program, so it's just what? It's something that loads something afterwards. Yeah, that's usual. Usually you have a loader which just downloads something further, malware from the internet. So now I just show you for how you can actually change this. You're going to settings, extras, options, security, and again settings. No, that were the wrong ones. Yeah, he's looking for it. Okay, yeah, there's it's saying macro security, and we say we want the low security level, because we, of course, trust all of our Word documents, and we say, okay. So now we restart it. Let's see what happened. So
noch passiert gar nichts.
By now, until now, nothing happens.
Okay.
Okay, something, at least a pop-up.
Vielleicht passiert was im Hintergrund, schauen wir mal.
Something happening in the background, let's have a look on the desktop with the wallpapers. No, they're still here.
Okay, da passiert mal aktuell gar nichts, oder wir merken es. Vielleicht schauen wir mal in den Task.
Let's check if anything is doing at the, on the task manager, if there's a new task. Let's see which processes are running. If there is something that looks strange. I have a question from the internet. Of the internet says that there's a blue bar at LibreOffice where there should be a yellow bar on Microsoft Word. So, but as I had them deactivated first, so maybe now we don't have the bar because Well, till now I don't see anything executing. So let's open the other document. Maybe that is doing something.
So download.
Let's see.
So here,
again, unarchive it here. Infected is the password. Oh, that's an executable. So let's open the executable. That should do something because it's directly an executable. See what happens. Oh yeah, suddenly it's starting like 50% CPU. Let's see, does it do anything? With 50% CPU, you do something? For now, for the LibreOffice document, I want to add that nothing happened, which is not that bad to see if you're using open source software. At least you're a bit more secure because all the malware is written for Microsoft Office and not for LibreOffice or other open source. You also can see here down at the bottom, so now the CPU is 100% used all the time. By now, still nothing is happening, but it looks like this program is really working. This usually doesn't look good if you have 100% CPU. Yeah, you see here, there's clearly something happening. Also, like RAM. It seems like it already started to do. Hopefully, the virtual machine won't crash. Let's see. What can you do if you get such malware? What you just pull out the plug? Well, it depends where you are. So if you're at home as a casual user and casual, yeah, of course, get out this plug off the wall and let the computer die. And then try to boot it with a Linux live system and see if you can save any data still. Before you do that, make a complete read-only copy of your hard drive, so without changing anything. And then at the end, you can just store that somewhere. And maybe after some time, after the data has been encrypted, that the key becomes public and people... So either researchers find a decryption tool or the ransomware authors themselves do this. So how good are those decryption tools usually? Well, when they are published by researchers, and then usually they work. Of course, the malware has to encrypt it in a way that it is actually decryptable, because some ransomware is like it encrypts in a way that is not decryptable, either because they have a programming error or because they actually do this, which is like the worst case. Yeah, of course, because then you don't it doesn't help you if you pay money because it's encrypted. This is usually called wiperware instead of ransomware. I'm still interested in what's happening here. So it clearly looks that if you like copy all your data after this happened, and I had a case where the person had ransomware and everything was encrypted, and after 1 year the master key has been published from this ransomware, and we could restore the data after this year. So just for now, this is the moment where you should talk about backup. You should of course have a backup beforehand. But unfortunately, people only realize that when it's late, too late.
An external device, and just don't let it connect it, because the backup will just get encrypted as well. So, for example, you can use an external device that you hand over to your parents and store it at your parents or a friend, and that way you can prevent having your backup, your local backup, be encrypted as well. It of course makes sense to have an off-site backup outside your flat or living space, because if there's a hazard like a fire or somebody breaks into your wall, into your flat, you still have your data somewhere else and can retrieve it from there. Now, okay, I just lost my connection to the stream. Hang on a second. And we're back. So now our ransomware in the background actually started doing things and started to encrypt our files, our wallpapers. So this is the Exosys 2.0 ransomware. Looks interesting.
All your data has been encrypted with Exosys 2.0 ransomware. Do not worry, you have some hours to contact us and decrypt all your data by paying us a ransom. Und auch interessant, oder?
Also interesting, also a kind of a trend. They're increasing prices for the ransom and start dropping the keys, so they nudge people to pay quickly. Before the keys to decrypt their files actually get destroyed. Here we have an authorization key. So that is used to identify us as a victim. And we can also look if we can find another ransomware that encrypts our files again, so we have a double encrypted file. So our first round is encrypted, and we'll see if we can do that another time. Let's see if that one works. Yeah, so we can get double trouble, because double the encryption is double the security. Of course not. Oh, they also encrypted our ransomware samples that we download. That's interesting. Well, click on it and see if it still works. Password is still infected. Let's run that one here. Okay, we'll click on that. So the file is still working, maybe because it was already opened in memory. Okay, the Word file still works, but it does not run the macrovirus. Is it sufficient to make a shadow copy of the files? Shadow copies are small backups that Windows does in the background, but it does not gain you a lot anymore, because ransomware knows about this and also deletes those shadow copies. So you can't restore your files from a shadow copy anymore. So probably most easy is to create a full image of your computer onto an external media. Yeah, that would work. So let's see if the second sample works. No, it does not look like there's anything running. My goal would be to have some files doubly encrypted by ransomware. But in principle, by now, ransomware has become quite good. And also uses strong encryption. And you usually cannot easily decrypt that. Sometimes if they have implementation errors or if a master key gets published, you can still decrypt it. Who's publishing the keys? Somebody having a bad day and... ransomware developers have having regrets and publishing the keys. So now we have a application here. At least it looks like an application. Oh, no, it disguises itself as a folder icon that you can add something to, but it's actually an application to run. So we now look into the file properties. Let's see if there's something in. Let's see what happens if you run that one. Okay, that instantly uses up some CPU. Let's see if that encrypts anything or if it shows anything. Okay, now we see I/O storage rising. Also, a common trick to add a custom icon to your application so it looks like a folder or probably Flash player, though in the background it's actually something completely different. So this does something. Let's see what it is.
Schauen wir mal kurz, ob da noch was passiert. Da werden wir auch mal langsam noch Schluss machen für heute. Grundsätzlich ist zum Zusammenfassen, dass
ich
sehr stark Open Source Software empfehle, insbesondere.
I can really recommend Open Source Software, especially LibreOffice, which is also free, Libre und gratis.
Hat die Ransomware in OpenOffice
and that one ransomware
Modus gestartet und
did not actually work in LibreOffice and started outputting debug stuff.
For Microsoft Office.
So it was actually great to see how this works in the background. And usually ransomware is made for Microsoft Office. Quite excited if we get another.
Message
would be great if it would encrypt again. So everything that's not running quick enough is getting encrypted. No, in principle, only use applications from trustworthy sources. Don't get them from anywhere on the internet. There's some website that are commonly known like chip.de. They're mostly reputable and trustworthy. Don't trust attachments in emails that tells you, oh, please open this, it's important for your work. Oh, and now we can see it's continuing the encryption.
Aufpassen, auch misstrauisch sein, das ist ganz wichtig, vor allem
bei be wary, mit Wertdokumenten. Take care.
Und wenn ihr ein Wertdokument öffnet und da ist ein Makro,
think about, should there be a macro in that Word document? And if it is, and you don't expect there to be a macro, Office documents should rarely have macros. Close that document right away, never activate macros in Microsoft Word.
Und es gibt auch die Funktion, dass man
of course, there are work documents that really need them, but those should be well-known documents to you, and you can whitelist those in Microsoft Word, so only these macros can run. In general, if it's containing macros, it's usually and with a high expectation of ransomware or malware in that document. So now we got another ransom note. And it looks like all our documents have been encrypted again. We have a question from the internet, and does double encryption actually work? Because that software usually looks at special extensions. Depends on the ransomware. Some ransomware checks the file document type, the MIME type, and the extension, and will only encrypt certain types. Then there's ransomware which just encrypts everything they can find in certain places. Okay, that one does not seem to have a name. So that one simply encrypts everything that it finds. So you can generally say that the extension is a key for the malware to encrypt or not. Similar question from the internet. Have you personally been targeted or been fallen victim to malware, or did you always get away with it? I personally have not been a victim yet. But a year or two ago, I read there's Wine, which is not an emulator for running Windows binaries to get them running under Linux, and that emulator is actually that good and compatible with Windows binaries, so they were actually able to run Windows malware binaries under Linux and got their files encrypted, which was not the intent. It happened to me that the malware actually escaped my sandbox and virtual machine and encrypted one of my drives. What about escaping virtual machines? Can malware escape VMs? Of course, there's no 100% security. In principle, it's quite hard. You usually have to combine multiple vulnerabilities, and usually you have to match very exactly the version numbers to exploit that. It's not really trivial to exploit to escape from a virtual machine. So you need multiple bugs and build a complex exploit chain. So if you're actually doing your updates regularly, that should not really be a big threat to you.
Yeah,
don't leave storage connected to the computer. So now we managed to doubly encrypt our files with Exorcist 2.0 and some other ransomware, so now you have probably to pay twice to get your files decrypted again. No more questions so far. We're fine on time. So we've talked about everything, I guess. So it's about having backups like daily or at least weekly, have different or multiple backups. Yeah, incremental backups are probably the best ones. Oh, that was a question coming in. How easy is it to spot ransomware is just changing files or file extensions? Usually, ransomware has their own extensions, so usually you can spot it when ransomware starts encrypting. And you can clearly see and notice that your files are not working anymore and cannot be opened. And sometimes you even get a ransom note in your face that tells you, okay, we started encrypting your files and we want your money. The internet is holding some critique. We're not speaking very clearly. What about which backup software is great for Windows? I personally use just the Windows backup software on a separate partition. I don't really have a good recommendation.
IO Backup.
I've used all-in-one backup. It's written in Java.
IO Backup is a costless software.
It's a free software in Java. The problem is.
Es gibt so eine diese Backup Software. Das Problem war, die war sehr.
Problem is, it's quite large. I can't find it at the moment.
Aber grundsätzlich, es gibt ein paar, die meisten sind
leider sehr umfangreich. Most of backup softwares are quite large to get into. I recommend reading reviews and tests.
Ich sage mal so, wenn man kann auch gerne mal 10, 20 Euro für eine Backup Software ausgeben.
It's quite fine to pay like 20 or 30. For software and review.
Es gibt leider nicht die eiligen Bäume.
So there's not the one that fits all.
Was ich aber weiß, ist mir, dass es nicht so viel Open Source.
What I know is, unfortunately, there is not that much Open Source software, which is a bit of a problem on Windows.
Not
Linux, but on Windows. You have some freeware version, like free. Just look on free backup software Windows. You can see, just you have to do some research yourself.
Okay, and
one more question from the internet says, they are sending a URL, which is HTTPS, malware-guide.com,
2.0. Ransomware and encrypted files.
Okay, it's a very long URL. Is this a serious offer? I'll copy paste you the link. Let's see. Okay. It should be an Apple, but you know. Let's see. At some point. Please, there's the URL.
Okay.
Let's see if that works. Okay, malwareguide.com/blog. Okay. Looks a bit professional. Okay, so now exorcist. Looks like someone tortured DuckDuckGo or some other search engine. Okay. Well, let's see. First view, that doesn't look bad. Well, but you can see here that they want to top that. If I read Spy Hunter 5 here, that's that looks very very problematic and very dangerous. But on the other hand, this one, I'd say the information you can find there looks okay. So to describe what it does and what happens, but when I go done here and what you can download there, that is either that looks like ads and just software which does ads. So, and I don't think that this software will actually work. So
system restore for vendors.
And how it shows you how you can use system restore if you have a restore. So it's just a bit of like a generic hint. Okay, we have to come to an end at that point. I know this backup topic is annoying, but so I just still want to take, so on Apple you have also, there's kind of a solution for backup. So how, what do you do on Linux? On Linux I use Borg Backup, which is open source and free, which is pretty powerful, and you have a lot of like you have a lot of settings. You just, and the great thing is you have to write a configuration for 1 or 2 hours, but after that it just works. So I just sat down at one point, so what kind of files I wanna back up, configured it, what runs shell script to have it, and then for one thing it's for just for one run it's backup to an external. Yeah, so Borg Backup is my suggestion for Linux desktop. Well, I'd say we're at the end. So thanks a lot for watching, and thanks for the questions. Thanks. So now the usual sermon at the end, you know. If you have any further questions to Hetty, just come to the breaking room. First, I want to thank all viewers and all the volunteers who make this possible, so like Hetty and me, people who make this event possible, and that it's for free. Thanks. You can also support us if you buy merch. We have merch. The URL can be found on the streaming website. We can also donate stuff to us, so we take money. We're not like against that. We also always have too little. We have to pay for stuff so that this is possible. So you can also just join us and participate. If you want such a great angel shirt, just go to privacywe.at and have a look at join us or help us. So we're still looking for angels, and we also thank our sponsors, without whom it wouldn't be possible to make this event. One is like the Next Layer company, which is just a data center which enables us to make the stream, and it's the Arbeiterkammer Wien, which gave us a lot of money, some money, so we can like pay for stuff like the angel shirts. Thanks to all of you. But most, we thank you as visitors and viewers, and also to the angels. You're great. And I don't know how I can say that. If I could kiss you now, Hetty, I would. So fortunately, you see, I'm not near to you, so you don't have to endure that. Okay, so let's go to the breaking room, if there is anyone. And I'll check. Tomorrow is Saturday. So Halloween, we'll start at 2 p.m., same time, same place. See you tomorrow. Bye. Okay, have a nice evening. So, and also have a nice evening from your translators. This talk was translated by Dimir and
McLemon.
Then bye, and see you tomorrow.